What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Untapped North. Happy 2022, our first episode of the new year. Ladies and gentlemen, I have invited back friend of the show, Nick Dunham, to join me today so that we can chat about the Ontario Hockey League. We're about halfway through the OHL season, actually just over halfway. And it's time to check in with Nick about the first half, where teams are at, some of the predictions he made, how they turned out. And then, of course, we want to grab Nick's previews and ones to watch for the second half of the OHL season. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Untapped North. First things first, Nick, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Of course, glad to be
here. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. First things first, right off the bat, we have to give shouts and props where they're due, and those shouts and props are coming right back to you, Nick, because I don't know if Vanessa is listening, but if she is, Nick was right. For those of you who are just tuning in maybe to this episode first, if you go back to our season preview episode with Nick, this guy was pretty much spot on with all of his first half picks. I think there was only one stinker in there, but I mean, there's still a second half to go, so you never know. But Nick, I just want to, while I've got you here, of course, give you props. Because you were right.
Recognition is just, you know, all I need. It's a great feeling to have the recognition coming from you. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, no worries. I'm just going to toss it right back to you. Mid-season takes. We're now halfway through, we're just over half, I guess, way through the OHL season. What are Nick's mid-season takes?
I would definitely say to start off, the Greyhounds, we talked about it in the first episode, the Welcome to the OHL episode, that it would be quite the question mark for them with how they were going to have everything pan out with their two rookie goalies going into the season and everything prior to their trade, with Niagara for Tucker Tynan was very surprising for me. The goaltenders, they both ended up playing very well. I'm sure that Ivanov got more than the workload that he was expecting, and it started to show closer to the end of his reign as the starting goaltender. But I think they did super well, and there was no real issues for the most part, considering it was going to be a team that was being led by two rookie goalies. Sudbury Wolves, I mean, I had high hopes for them just because of how many great young players they had, but it's just been overwhelmingly disappointing. They're second last in their division, bottom of the league. Another deadline disaster by their general manager and the whole rumors of the Chase Stillman deal flipping him to Peterborough so Peterborough could flip him to London. And obviously the flip to London never happened because apparently Papineau was just sitting on his hands for too long, and their coaching has been just abysmal.
What a disaster.
I was familiar with Duncanson from his time coaching at Laurentian, and he was there when I was still going to school there, and that team was bad, and the Wolves are bad. So, you know, it might start with the coach, it might start with the management, who knows, but they've got a lot of good players, and it's been really disappointing. And, I mean, as you had already stated, that my takes were all pretty spot on. The North Bay Battalion, they were one of my top teams that I wanted to really watch this year, and they have lived right up to the expectations.
If it's any consolation looking back now, at least, you know, Sudbury's not dead last in the East. But we have to remember that the only reason they're not is because Niagara's played six or seven less games than them because of COVID. So on the plus side, I mean, at least the Sudbury Wolves aren't dead last. But no, I mean, you're right. I too was a little surprised given the Greyhound's success. But like you said, you know, shouts to Ivanov. The guy has 14 wins for the team this year, and that's 14 out of their 21 wins. So, I mean, he's put the weight of it on his back. Like you said, it's starting to show. But the Tynan's, you know, Tynan, that's great for the team. Let's speak about that little, like, drama segment. How about that little whole hysteria on Twitter there?
Yeah, that was quite the predicament. And, you know, I had said to you prior to this recording that the guys were so loud to start it all off. And after a couple of days, just silence. So, you know, how much of it is true? Who knows? But, you know, you go from being the loudest person out there to dead silent, kind of weird to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with it was all a load of baloney. I don't know. You pick your bat. Maybe some of it's true, some of it's not. But for me, it's who bets against their own team?
Well,
unless you're Pete Rose.
Or allegedly Shoeless Joe, but you know that's besides the point.
That's besides the point. Yeah, you know what? Good call.
But these guys were already established professionals and everything. You know, like Tynan, he's still young. He's still trying to get that NHL deal. So why would you even risk that?
Yeah, there's no shot. And if the Greyhounds can continue their role in the second half, there's a good chance that he will fight. You know, he will get that. He will get that offer, or signed, or you know, he's gonna make that jump. You know.
Yeah.
As far as the rest of the league goes right now, Mississauga sitting in first place in the East.
First place in the league.
Yeah, you're right. First place in the league, first place in the East. Surprised or not surprised?
I am surprised. They were not projected by anyone to be a real force in the East. But they've been able to put it together. I mean, it's a very pleasant surprise that Mississauga has been able to do what they've been doing. And they've got a lot of really good players. So I'm really glad to see that they've put it all together and they've actually, you know, turned this into being a good first half for them and hopefully continue into the second half.
I mean, you got James Hardy, who's third in the league in goals. That doesn't hurt. But it's just the fact that they, you know, they've got 23 wins and easily one of the coolest names in all of hockey on their team as well. Luca Delbel. I just stick with Delbel. Quicker off
Belouz,
the tongue.
I believe it is.
But yeah. It's Delbel Belouz. I think that's an incredible last name.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of surprised me in the sense of he's not a name that you're necessarily seeing every night, but when you look at the league standings and just leaders this year, he's ninth in the league in points with 47. So he's creeping up, and depending on how the Steelheads handle the rest of the year, he could even creep into that, you know, that top seven, top five, maybe. That's if we can get guys like, you know, Ty Cartier and Rory Kearns to cool off, but I don't see that happening for the Greyhounds. Sioux Greyhounds first in the Western Conference. Surprised or not surprised? We kind of answered it a little bit earlier, but I would assume you're going to go with kind of surprised.
Yeah, it's a 50-50. I mean, London was expected to have a very good squad, and they definitely did. They started off the season extremely hot, but luckily enough for the Greyhounds, London cooled it down. So it wasn't as, you know, as much of a challenge for them to get back in and have a close season with them and catch up to them in the standings. So I really thought that London was going to continue their hot streak, but obviously that didn't pan out for them so far. And Guelph usually has a pretty good squad, and I mean, they're doing just as well as expected. So the Greyhounds, like I said, kind of a 50-50, surprised, not surprised that they're up there.
I think COVID, I'm so over COVID, but I think COVID plays a factor in where both London and Guelph currently sit. They played 6 games less than the Hounds.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a mathematician to see, you know, when you look at the standings, that the Hounds pretty much have to stay winning the rest of, you know, the rest of the way, because London's only 4 points behind them with 6 games less played. So eventually those games are going to get made up, and you just have to hope that, you know, London doesn't continue to roll. In my opinion, you know, in their last 10, they're 5 wins, 5 losses, they're a 500 team. But when you have, you know, 41 points with only 30 games played, give credit where it's due. I think they're a very good squad. Staying in the West, I kind of look down the list. What are your thoughts on Flint right now? In the sense of, do you think they sit around third pretty much the whole way? Do you think Guelph, with those games at hand, you know, will overtake them? They're only separated by 1 point. The problem with second and fifth, actually, in the whole West, is that they're separated by 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how everything pans out with Flint. I mean, they've been a surprise for me as well. I haven't really watched many of their games this season, but to see them up there in the standings is definitely not what I was expecting at the halfway point of the season.
No, they're a pretty 500 team. And the only reason I call them out is because one of the other players that I like and that I'm, you know, that I kind of have been paying attention to more this year, is Brendan Othman, or Othman, depending on how you prefer the pronunciation. this guy's got 27 goals. He's pretty much, he's second in the league in goals. And carrying, you know, the Firebirds, they're pretty, to just over 500 record. But I think that Western Conference is exciting, just given the fact that, sure, the Sioux, you could say the Sioux is pulling away with 45 points, but I mean, London, Flint, Windsor, they've all got 40. Guelph has 39, and then nobody cares about the second, you know, the rest of them. They're all kind of down and out, in my opinion, unless Owen Sound, maybe they can get hot and make a run. But to me, they're down and out. Any other first half surprises that jump out at you?
Yeah, for me, I mean, we had talked about it, I touched on it a little bit. The Steelheads leading the league, I had that in there. The Frontenacs being 8th in the league has been surprising for me, on the, you know, negative surprise. And Shane Wright has just, I don't want to necessarily say he's taken a step back, but 32 points in 26 games for a guy that was long projected to be the first overall pick for this draft is just very surprising to me. And there's been a lot of talk going around in the draft circles that he may no longer be the consensus 1-1 pick for the draft, just with how he's been playing this season. So that's been very surprising to me. And also, Another big surprise in the first half has been the Greyhounds' power play. They've got a 31% power play conversion percentage, and out of Ty Cartier's 29 goals, 17 of them have been on the power play, which is leading the league by a far margin.
Big margin.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he has 17. The next highest is Gushkin out of Niagara with 8.
Oh yeah, it's a it it he's running away with that one for sure. And I'm leading the league, like you said, leading the leading goals with 29. The guy's like Ovechkin on the power play. He's just
Yeah.
always scoring, always scoring.
Yeah,
I love it.
it's been great to watch. And
You
yeah, I
know,
think that
so that's,
really
yeah,
ties
those
up
would
for
be
my
your,
surprises.
fair enough.
Yeah.
My surprises, you know, are not really anything that you haven't really mentioned for me, like, and we've kind of discussed them as we've gone on. So I'm not even going to, you know, I don't even have to brush upon it really. I can move right along to just wanting to touch upon the Sioux a little bit more. And they're kind of being led by, you know, the team of Cartier, Cairns, O'Rourke, and Dickinson. For me, it's those four names that you're seeing every single night. Anybody else you want to throw into that mix?
No, it's really been, like you said, it's those four that you'll see and hear night after night. As of late, though, Caden Carlyle has been quite the surprise for me. He's been playing extremely well over the past couple of weeks, and it's just definitely been nice to be watching him and, you know, see him doing well as a rookie defenseman in this league.
He's got, sorry, we're, yeah, he's, I don't have his numbers, obviously, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but like, I do see his name, you know, coming up if I'm not watching the game or whatever. He's generating some buzz. It's nice to see guys like Cairns, you know, he's third in the league right now in points. Like we've talked about Cartier, he's sitting there first in the league in goals. Cairns, again, second in the league in assists. I didn't realize that Cairns was actually our point leader too, but it doesn't surprise me because the guy's been on fire. And then of course the goaltending tandem, like I mentioned, Ivanov having 14 wins speaks a lot to their success. Do you see him being a major factor going forward for them, with respect to, you know, they've got Tynan, but you've got Ivanov with the brunt of the wins. What do you think their goaltending will look like, second half?
I think they're still going to be running with Tynan for the most part. Just keep the veteran going unless he has some very abysmal showings. I think they're just going to keep running with him. Maybe give Ivanov some starts against, you know, Sudbury and some of the lower teams. But for the most part, I think they're just going to keep running with Tynan.
I dig it. I don't have really any complaints about the guy. I don't really have any complaints about the Sioux. It's been nice to see them leading and winning. Great to see them play on TSN last night and get the win. Yeah, I was my dad, I messaged my dad. I was like, "Hey, you got to tune into the game TSN," and he replied with, "That's for tomorrow's game, right?" No, Dad. There's 10 minutes left in the third period now, and it was tonight. And then he hit me back with like, "Wow, great quality!" And then we got on a tangent about the quality that we sometimes get with the CHL TV. I can't remember what. I think it was the latest Hounds game. Just hilarious when 1 minute it's on and the next minute it's dead silent with technical issues, but there was nothing leading up to the technical issues on my end. So sometimes I just think they step on the cord and end up unplugging everything.
Yeah, it goes from watching the perfect game to a full green screen to technical issues. That was the Windsor game.
Yeah, and you're kind of sitting there going, okay.
Yep.
I don't know who dropped the ball there.
I mean, nothing for me beats the Greyhounds home broadcasts, where it'll be the feed from the game for the cameras, and then the audio is the Rock 101 broadcast, just going over top of it.
Yep. You get the delays, you get the mispronounced names, you get Jerry yelling in your ear for 2.5 hours.
You get the ads for American businesses.
All the ads for the American businesses keeping Rock 101 alive. enough about the first half. We want to look maybe now into the second half of the season. Any preview or prediction that you want to try and go, you know, you want to try and go again on being right and right and right and right, or what?
I think that Hamilton gives quite the push to Mississauga for the conference lead. They made a lot of big acquisitions at the trade deadline, and I hope it pays off for them because they spent a lot. But we'll see how that ends up working out for them. And in the West, like you said, London, they're only 4 points back and they're 6 games behind the Greyhounds just because of COVID delays and whatnot. So that'll be an interesting battle for that. As for the Western Division, I think that the Sioux is probably just going to run away with it, barring any real meltdown from them. I don't think Flint has it in them to catch up. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see Sudbury somehow, well, I don't want to say somehow, sneak their way into the eighth playoff spot. I mean, currently they're tied with Peterborough for the eighth playoff spot, but that's also with only 26 points. So it's really a battle for the basement, I guess, in the East.
Yeah, that last playoff spot is pretty much up for grabs, especially with Niagara having basically seven less games. So I mean, Sudbury's gotta go on a bit of a run in order to hold the basement there, like you said. But I'm gonna disagree with you on the West. I think the Sioux finishes highest, they finish second. Lowest they'll finish is third, behind both London and Flint. I think Windsor will slip down as well. I see Guelph kind of creeping up there to that fourth, maybe even that third spot. I think London's going to end up winning the West, in my opinion. And I think we'll see a little bit of a simmer from the Sioux, but nothing drastic. I don't think they're going to fall off, obviously. But I think London's going to turn it around and they'll end up winning the West. That's my second half prediction. In the West anyway. The East is done. The East is wrapped up. It's finished. Mississauga's winning the East. We don't have to talk about it anymore. It's over. And what you see in the East right now, anybody who's listening, go look at the OHL standings right now. What you see in the East, that's your playoff matchup. It doesn't really matter where second and eighth shift. They're all going to shift, well, at least second and seventh. I shouldn't say eighth. Eighth is, like we said, eighth is a battle between Peterborough and Sudbury, maybe Niagara. But between second and seventh, I mean, they can flip-flop all day, but it's not going to matter. Mississauga is going to win the East. Easily. There's no denying it.
Hot takes.
Ah, I don't think that's necessarily a hot take in the East. In the
No, definitely
West,
not.
in the West, though, maybe the West is a hot take, but we've seen what London can do. We also know that now that the Ontario government is, I don't know, manning up and moving forward with certain things. We know how big that stadium is in London. We know how rowdy that place can get. I think their crowd, even though it's only 50%, 50% of a London crowd is still more than some of these other teams get nightly. So, I mean, that'll have a factor to it. The fact that there's six less games played, call it a hot take, call it what you want. London will win the West. Almost said they're going to win the East. Imagine that. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch upon today in our little mid-season check-in?
Yeah, one thing that I did fail to mention, I guess, was how the Greyhounds have not just been getting their scoring from really their top three of Cartier, Cairns, and Dickinson. It's also been, well, Rob Colisti has been doing extremely well. He's always been an offensive defenseman for them, so it's not really too much of a surprise. But the fact that they also just acquired Jack Thompson puts quite a lot of points between the two of them. So we'll hope that that is able to continue and the Sioux is able to get some extra offense off the back end.
Randy,
Randy!
yeah, Khaleesi, man. If he finishes the league as some sort of leader, whether it's like goals, assists, whatever, I'll buy his jersey. How about that for a take? I will buy a Khaleesi jersey if he can somehow finish in either first in goals, first in assists, or first in points for defenseman.
It up right next to your Rasmus Sandin jersey.
You know it, baby.
Single season.
Ay, ay, ay. One other player that we haven't talked about, but I think we should really quickly. Coming out of Windsor, Wyatt Johnston,
Yep.
right? This guy, he's leading the league in scoring. For those of you who don't know, Wyatt Johnston has 63 points this year. 21 goals, 42 assists. He has been an offensive machine and a playmaker, the playmaker that Windsor has needed this year. You brought up a good point before we hopped on this call. Would Windsor be in fourth, or I guess tied for third, in the West without the play of Wyatt Johnston?
I doubt it. Their next two, I just realized it was two, but the next highest scorers on the team, they both have 37 points. And Johnston put up 30 points in a 14 game span. So, that obviously gives him a big boost in his overall points totals. But when you're that good, but your next scorer is almost 30 points below you, it's not really sustainable. So I don't think that Windsor would be in that position if he wasn't a part of their squad.
You think he's finished with Windsor after this season, and Dallas says, okay, you're young, but you're very talented. Let's see what you got.
I don't know about that. I haven't really been paying much attention to the Stars, so I don't really know what their offensive output is like and if he would be a welcome addition to that team. Given his age, when he can spend some more time developing at the OHL level. But it definitely would be interesting to see.
Yeah, the Stars are, I mean, they're fifth in the Central. I don't know think they'll make the playoffs, probably just barely. So we'll see. It depends how they want to structure the rest of this season and into next. But it would be very interesting to see if this sort of production leads an NHL team to make a drastic decision. Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not gonna even lay a hot take on it. Don't want to risk it there. Other than the fact that I don't think Windsor is where they're at without this guy for sure. They're sitting closer to, Kitchener, Saginaw area when it comes to the standings. This guy's incredible, and it will be. I think he'll finish the rest of the year the same way. I don't foresee him losing that point lead. But again, you never know. Depends on how the team plays around. It depends on how the team plays around him. If he's got 42 assists, it's all about whether his team can continue that offensive prowess with him.
I wouldn't necessarily say that he's not going to lose the scoring lead. I mean, Coe and Cairns both have 60. But hopefully he doesn't lose the pace that he's on. I mean, I think that it's really anyone's race in the top five scorers to finish up the season leading in points, but I don't think it's all wrapped up and done for Johnston just yet.
Nick, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on again.
Glad to be on. I mean, I hope that now that I'm a second time guest, that I'm just officially a hashtag friend of the show.
Oh, absolutely. Not just guest, it's absolutely hashtag friend of the show. Necessity to the show, if you will. We will be in touch again, and we'll definitely have to see how our, or I guess your takes, pan out. And we'll get you on again before or right before or during, I guess, the playoffs, which before you know it, we'll be nipping at our heels.
Yeah, for sure. I hope that we can do this again, definitely.
We'll find the time. We always do.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. It was a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon, yeah?
All right, sounds good.
All right, boss. Cheers.
Later.
Bye, have a great time.